Now, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. And what we're going to do is just look at the outset here of Romans chapter 8. We're just going to go to the verse at hand here. And let's go to verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Matter of fact, let's go to verse 14. Sorry about that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, again, we've been looking at verse 18 here, but also verse 17, the end of verse 17, that Paul says that we may be also glorified together. And we're looking at this issue here, that as a son being led by the Spirit, he ought to understand that you cannot avoid the sufferings of this present time. You're going to go through the sufferings of this present time, whether you want to face the reality that you are going through them, and you're going to go through them regardless. But it's how you think about these sufferings of the present time, your proper understanding of why you're suffering, why we go through the things we go through today, and why God isn't putting his hands in between our problems that we face today and the sufferings and troubles that we face. And that as a son and daughter in Christ, it's essential in utilizing his word the way he designed. That's why he left his word behind, for ones to get justified. His will is that all become saved and to come into the knowledge of his truth, that they can become justified and come to understand him as the Father, the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercies, and understand his will in this sinful, ungodly world and things of that nature. Now, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians? We'll look at the book of 2 Corinthians here. And we're going to take a look at some things regarding some of the things we looked at last week. But I want to amplify upon some of these things that we come to understand it more clearly than we did before. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. I'm going to stop there, and as we see right at the outset there, we see, as Paul says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And this is what he's beseeching. He's coming to you and he's giving you the doctrine that what the Father ought to represent and mean unto you, ones that are in any tribulation, in all tribulation and suffering. And that's why he says the God of comfort. And he's going to explain to you that God is that comfort. He is it's essential and effectual that we understand him as such. And we utilize his word, being led by the Spirit, being sons and daughters in Christ, utilizing him as we ought to. And look what he says in verse 4. He says, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see, the way it ought to work is that consolation. We get salvation. we take God's word and allow God's word to work effectively within us, and we utilize it, and then also others can receive that consolation by the salvation which we receive. The same way we receive consolation and the consoling doctrine, because we see what Paul went through when Paul was afflicted, when the apostles and disciples themselves went through the sufferings of this present time, and they rejoiced. We see in Acts chapter 4 when the apostles were beaten because they preached Christ. They were put in the prison, and when they were told not to preach and teach Jesus anymore, when they got out, they rejoiced. They glorified God that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. That ought to be our attitude also. Now let's pick it back here. Let's pick it up back in verse 6 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. And whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering. And that's what we went over last week. And Paul says, whether we be afflicted, whether when Paul is afflicted, he said, it is for your consolation. It's a consoling issue that they would say, well, Paul is going, look what Paul is suffering. And he's suffering for the gospel's sake. And he's not being delivered physically from these issues. He's going through them and he's rejoicing in these. Paul is our example. That's what Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. He doesn't mean just follow me in the idea that the justification thing, the good things. He's follow me as the whole issue of his ministry, as being a son himself. He says, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual and enduring. That's how we're going to endure these things. That, like he says, this is effectual. Or today we don't use that word effectual. We use the word effective. But effectual is the best possible way to get things done. In the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And we read last week the things that Paul suffered. And we're not even going to go through 1% of those things. And he says, or whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. So when Paul goes through those things, Paul says that he's comforted in those things. He says he's exceeding joyful in all his tribulations. He says that he talks about that he has much comfort in these things. And we're going to see those a little later on. But also, as he says, when we see the comfort that he has in himself, even though he's going through those things, it teaches us, we learn from that, and it becomes our consolation. It becomes that consoling doctrine in how we ourselves can gain the salvation from us going through the same sufferings. Or not just the same, but in all our tribulation. So now, if you will, come down to, well, matter of fact, come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, and let's look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. See, the first things first that we need to understand, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, we're going to take a look at some of the other issues concerning this, is the only way we can fully understand the sufferings of this present time and how we are to glory in them and how we are to rejoice in our sufferings is we must first change the way we view ourselves. That's the first thing we need to do. We need to change the way we think, the same way Paul did. That's what Paul had to do. And Paul knew that even though he suffered to the extreme when he even despaired of life, his attitude wasn't like the natural man. The first thing we need to do is come to the realization that just as Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us, we being members of his body ought to possess the same unselfish attitude concerning the power of God. See, our thinking ought to be renewed towards the will of God in everything. And that's including our sufferings also. And when we suffer these things, even though they're very, very troubling things that come upon us, we ought to realize, and we should realize, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, did you notice the attitude that Paul had towards his sufferings when you see in verse 8 through 10? No matter what he went through, Paul had a comforting and positive outlook upon each situation that he went through. And that's because, just like the verse says, that the life of Jesus also be made manifest in his body. That's the goal. The goal is that the life of Jesus might, regardless if he was when he was getting stoned, the same doctrine was going through his mind when he was getting stoned. And this is why Paul makes this evident unto us. And again, us following Paul as he followed Christ is also following him in the sufferings of Christ. Now let's come down to verse 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. Now I'm going to stop there because you remember we just read just a few verses up when Paul says that the excellency of the power of God, maybe the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, there's a difference there because Paul is talking about in verse 7, he's saying that he's talking about the outer man. That's why he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But then when you come down here to verse 15, he says, for all things are for your sakes. You know, and we looked earlier when it says, you know, it talks about for Jesus' sake and things of that nature, and we'll see some of those verses. But he says here, for all things are for your sakes. The difference here is he's speaking of your inner man. Now he's talking about the inner man, the benefit of the inner man, because when Paul tells us that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, or he says, when I am weak, then Christ's strength is made perfect. He's talking about the outer man. But when it comes to the inner man, that's when he talks about looking not at the things which you see, or hoping for that you see not. And as you see here in this verse, in verse 15, it says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And you notice the man he's talking about here that's going to gain the benefit, whose sakes that this is for? He says, because, and you're going to see a little later on here, the benefit. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's talking about to the outer man, worketh for us, now this is talking about the inner man, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. And see, we got to come and understand something also. Again, we spend 60, 70, 80 years in this body. We're going to spend 60, 70, 80 trillion years in our inner man, in a new glorified body. That's why our emphasis should not ought to be so much about our outward man. Because as Paul says here, for which cause we faint not. Now, the sufferings around you could cause you to faint. It could cause you to throw in the towel. But how you're thinking ought to be is what Paul says here. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And it's renewed with doctrine of you being led by the Spirit. It's being renewed with the doctrine of God's will for you. And the idea of you understanding that all the things you're going through, it's you know, how God views that. Not the way this world views it, but how God views the things that we face today. And let's come over to, we're in 2 Corinthians here. Let's come over to chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's take a look at a couple of things here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 4. Yeah, verse 4 here. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand, on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report as deceivers, and yet true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Now these are things that when we see here, Paul is going to go through, he's going to tell you what you have, and he's explaining what he goes through. And what we go through also when we go through the sufferings of Christ, as well as the sufferings of this present time. And he's comparing these things. He's as we've seen in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, when he says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What Paul is doing here, he's telling you things he went through, the sufferings here. He says, in much patience. He says in verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. That's the first thing. He's understanding. He has patience because he's waiting for something. He has a perfect understanding in what he's going through. That's why you see in much patience, first of all. Secondly is afflictions. Thirdly is necessities, things that he's without, that he, not things that he wants, but necessities, right behind the afflictions there, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, fasting. These are things that he's enduring as a minister of God and as a saint and a son in Christ. Look at what he says next in verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost. When he says by, that means this is how I'm doing these things. This is how it's getting done. He's telling you the things he went through there in verses 4 and 5, and then he says, it's almost as if someone said, well, how are you getting this done, Paul? By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unframed, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. As deceit, and let me stop there because this is how he's able to accomplish these things. It's how he's able to accomplish these things and come to understand how to get those things accomplished when he's in patient, when he's in afflictions, or when he's without and has necessities or distresses or stripes. This is how he does these things. And by the Holy Ghost and by love unfeigned and by the word of truth and the power of God, armor righteousness. You're talking about the word of God there. But you're talking about the word of God being utilized in the way he needs it. Whether it's in comfort or whether it's a love of the other saints, giving him consolation, or by it's the word of truth, by the truth of what God promised unto him and us by his word, knowing what the Father of all mercies and what he promised us, that salvation in this doctrine, by that power of God, the whole issue that when he's weak, then Christ's strength is made perfect by that truth. The armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. These are things that we need to understand, that as Paul says here, now in verse 9, he's going to say, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. What he's doing is he's saying, well, I'm the outward man is this, hey, but the inward man is this. The outward man is unknown. The inward man is well known. Outward man is dying, and yet behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, outward man is sorrowful, yet outward man is yet rejoicing. As poor, and so on and so on. He's explaining to you what he's looking at through the eyes of the inward man. And this is the thinking that we ought to have also, but the first things first is how we view ourselves in these things. That's the first step. That's the first step there. Now, while we're there, come on down to chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's whirl over in 2 Corinthians. And let's look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire and your mourning and your fervent mind toward me, that I rejoice the more. Now, when you're looking at what Paul says here, Paul starts off at the outset, he says, in verse 4, I am filled with comfort. And we know the things that Paul just said he went through. The things that he just mentioned that he goes through in the ministry, that he has necessities and afflictions and all the different things that he said that he goes through, the stripes and such. But he says, I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Now, how can one say that? Now, the outer man, the outward man that's perishing with Paul, wouldn't say that. But the inward man could say, I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And he says in verse 5, he says, our flesh had no rest. He says, we were troubled on every side. Like I said last week, the sufferings that Paul went through only got worse. In 2 Corinthians, it was only his fourth book that he wrote. Actually, his fifth book that he wrote. And he still had more to write. And he still had more sufferings to go through. He was going through sufferings when he was writing this epistle. And even the ones he wrote after, of course, they only got worse, even unto death. And Paul is saying that he's exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And he says he was troubled on every side. But again, look what verse 6 says. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down. And God does comfort those that are cast down. But he comforts us by his word. And we get comfort also by other saints. We get that salvation from his word as being the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And we receive comfort of the other saints that are going through things and they utilize God's word like the Thessalonians did. The Thessalonians went through the sufferings of this present time and the sufferings of Christ, but they rejoiced also. They abounded more and more. This is what we need to come to understand ourselves. Now let's come over to Romans 2 Corinthians. Let's come back over to chapter 11. We were there last week. And I want to go back over a couple of things there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at verse 18. Yeah, let's look at verse 18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. Now, at the outset there, Paul is saying that there are many, and we can get the understanding that there's many that glory after the flesh. Paul is saying he's going to glory also after the flesh. And, of course, earlier he said he speaks foolishly. He's going to speak as others speak. He says, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. What Paul is saying here, Paul is saying that, there's ones that suffer, but they're not suffering for Christ, or they're not suffering the sufferings of this present time. He's saying that they are boasting of their sufferings because someone brought them into bondage, or some devoured them, or some took of them, or another man tried to exalt himself over them, or if someone hit them, smite them on the face, things like that. They look upon that. Paul is saying, you're looking upon those things as suffering. He's saying, I speak, in verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Then Paul is going to go and talk about the things that he went through. All these things that Paul went through that he said was a light affliction. And we'll look at him here in verse 24. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one, five times. Verse 25, thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak? And am I not weak? Who is offended? Am I not burned? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine enemies, my infirmities. Sorry about that. Paul is saying that's what he's going to glory in. He just mentioned to you his infirmities, but he said he'd rather glory in that other than glory in the way this world glories or the way this world looks upon the things they go through. And Paul knows why he's doing this. He knows he knows the bigger picture here. And again, Paul says that over in verse 12. He goes over again about he would rather glory in his infirmities. And this is the way our outlook ought to be also. But the only way we can have that outlook again is we have to understand how we view ourselves. And when we look at the sufferings that Paul went through in all those verses we read, you wonder, how could Paul call these things a light affliction? See, this is because he had the renewing of his mind. He renewed his mind with that doctrine, which is according to godliness, which was operating effectually within him. You notice how Paul says over and over, he will glory of the things which concern his infirmities. And to acquire this type of thinking, you have to understand that it goes from a milk to meat design. And that our Father gives us that from Romans chapter 6 all the way to the point when you get up to Romans, go through Romans chapter 8. You're looking at Romans 12, doctrine there. The whole second book of Corinthians is dedicated to it. The book of Philippians and things of that nature. But it would be impossible for a saint that's operating upon just Romans through Galatian doctrine to fully understand how to glory and rejoice in the sufferings of Christ. If we're not understanding this crucial doctrine of sonship, you're not going to be able to fully utilize God as the God of all comforts. You're not going to fully actually get to know him as the Father of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation. Because you'll be a saint, but you'll be a saint going through the sufferings of this present time. You won't be able to do as Paul did with God's word. And as we see that the things that he went through on a daily basis. Now let's look at this over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or heareth of me. And I'm going to stop there, because that's crucial in understanding that, because remember what I said at the outset? Is the first thing we have to do in order to be able to glory in the sufferings of this present time is to renew our minds in how we view ourselves, and that we be not high-minded when we think about this outer man. We have to come to the realization, and I know it's hard for some to come to that realization, but your outward man is perishing day by day. That's what God's word says. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And we know the outward man is perishing day by day. But you see what Paul says here when Paul talks about glorying in his infirmities. Paul says, though he would desire to glory, he said he'd be a fool to glory in his outward man. And some do this all the time. Some will tell you that God healed them. Some will tell you that ask you to pray for a loved one that's going through something or sick, that they may be healed. But that would be glorying about the outward man, a healing there. But like Paul says here, Paul says in verse six, he says, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me. Paul doesn't want to be exalted to be more than he is. He doesn't want people to look upon him as such, to look upon him as being more than just a servant ministering the gospel. being a chosen vessel unto the Lord, not exalting himself as Paul the apostle, a man given the doctrine and with authority. And Paul says, Second Corinthians 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and in persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And again, what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying that glorying that he's going to do, he's not going to glory about the outward man things, because your outward man is not going to get any glory from God. I want you to understand that. The glory from God that you're going to receive does not concern your outward man one bit. It all concerns your inner man. Your inner man is the man that benefits from the Word of God. And you know this because in heavenly places, which one is God going to deal with in heavenly places? He's going to deal with your inner man. And as we've seen earlier in the other verses, when Paul said, now you see Paul saying, for Jesus' sake right here, for Christ's sake, we looked at a verse in chapter 4 when it says, for all things are for your sakes, because he's talking about your inner man, not the outer man. The things that Paul is talking about here, he's talking about what happens to his outer man. And like in verse 10 here, he says about the power of Christ resting upon him. He's saying, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. When my outer man is weak, then my inner man is strong. This is what's being said here. And the power of Christ is resting upon Paul when his outer man is going through the things. But that strength is being put on display through the inward man. And notice what it says in verse 7. There was a messenger of Satan. Messenger of Satan, Paul says, to buffet me. The things that Paul went through or what that was that Paul was going through, but evidently it was a messenger, he had to have a message. But what we need to do is come to understand that these things that we're going to go through is things that we learn. We go from the milk to meat in learning and knowing God as the God of all comfort in the sufferings of this present time and understanding how we ought to view ourselves. And this whole suffering that we deal with, we should look at them with our inner man instead of our outward man. Even though the outward man is going through them, the earthen vessels that we have are the ones that are going through these things. But the bigger picture is what the inward man is going to get. He's the one that God is using. And see, as Paul said, he learned to take pleasure in his sufferings because he knew what the bigger picture was all about. He knew that we're to look at our sufferings through the inward man eyes and what our focus ought to be. Our focus ought to be on Christ's sake and not ours. When we learn to use God's word the way it was designed to work for us, you will see what the bigger picture is and what part we play in putting Christ, the power of Christ, on display. So all you have to do is read verse 9 carefully to understand and appreciate just how important the sufferings of Christ is to our sonship life. And also what great value that it holds, that when we suffer, Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And we got to look at it as a great gift when we look at it through the eyes of our inward man. Because most of this world, they view things through the outward man. And their outward man has no desire to go through any of these sufferings. That's because they fail to understand and appreciate God, our Father, as the Father of all comfort. And we also need to understand the part we play in this and what how God the Father views when we suffer. And we're glorified. That's where that glory is. When we allow God's word to work effectually within us, that brings glory and honor onto the Father. And it makes an impact in heavenly places. We build a reputation in heavenly places. That's where your citizenship is. Ye are seated in heavenly places. And that's the whole purpose there. And this is why, again, I said this before a couple weeks back, that when you're looking at when Paul is mentioning about us crying, Abba Father, about the adoption of sons, that's why he brings it out right at the outset when he's talking about sufferings. Because if you don't understand this, you're not going to get off the ground in understanding what the doctrine of being a son in Christ is all about and a daughter in Christ. That's why you see verses later in Romans chapter 8. Paul talks about that God is conforming us to the image of his son. Did his son go through sufferings? Of course. And should we go through sufferings? If the head suffers, why wouldn't the foot suffer? We're not any better than Christ or Paul or any of the other disciples or the apostles that went through the same sufferings. God's not going to put his hand in between what we go through today. Because if he was to do that, we would never have the opportunity to use his word in our lives the way we ought to, as sons and daughters in Christ, as adult sons and daughters in Christ. Now let's come over to Philippians. Come over to the book of Philippians. Let's take a look at a couple of things there. Let's see what time we got here. Okay, we're doing okay. For Philippians, let's look at Let's go to chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. And notice what's being said here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, I'm going to stop there because Philippians is also a book of sufferings. And you notice if you do a concordance of just the book of Philippians and even 2 Corinthians, you notice how many times that the word rejoice is used or joy is being used. You know, in the midst of him explaining how they're going to suffer. Okay, let's go back to verse 4 here. Rejoice in the Lord always. That means all the way. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then stop there, because that many times that's often misconstrued to mean that let your request be made known to God, and God's going to supply all your need, everything you need. You know, and what people do is they take this verse and they tie it together with another verse in verse 19. They'll say, make your request be made known to God, And then verse 14, but my God shall supply all your need. And they stop there. But what Paul is saying, Paul said, let your moderation be made known unto all men. We know what it means to be moderate, okay? He says, let the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But Paul means by that, he's saying, don't be so full of care. That's what careful means. Don't be so full of care for things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, you got to understand what's being said here, because he's not saying that requests ought to be earthly things at all. Well, you know that because just in chapter 3, Paul talks about, in verse 18, he says, for many walk of whom I have often told you, now even tell you weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is in their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. So, you know here, Paul is saying that he's not talking about outward man, earthly things. He's talking about things that concern the inner man and heavenly things. But ones that the natural man would pick this book up and assume that he's looking upon God as being a genie. Just asking, he's going to give it to you. But verse 7 says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Your hearts and minds is what God is dealing with. And that peace of God comes through, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's the benefits of the Word of God. Now, come down to verse 9 here. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And notice he's talking about following him as he followed Christ. And he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, we've seen the things that Paul went through. Now, this is the book of Philippians. This was written years after Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians. And we know all the things that Paul said he went through. Now, Paul says, those things which ye have both learned, received, and heard, and seen, and ye do, is also the sufferings. Paul utilized God as the God of all comfort and the God of peace. And here he's talked about as the God of peace, because they're going to need peace in going the things that they're going through. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last of that at the last of your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful that ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now you see Paul here, Paul's saying that not that he speaks in respect of want. He says he's learned in whatsoever state that he's in to be therewith content. And why would Paul tell these saints to pray for God to give them anything of this world or deliver them from a problem when Paul is saying that he's learned to be content in any situation? He even said in verse 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. So Paul wants you to have that same understanding as he has in verse 11 here. Paul wants you to not to speak in respect of want. And he wants you to learn and what sort of state you're in to be there with content. So, again, if he was talking about the things that this world talks about today, he wouldn't say these things here. Paul wouldn't say that he himself has learned to be content in any situation. Verse 12, I know how to both be abased and I know how to abound everywhere. In all things I am instructed to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. And the strengthening is because he needs strengthening for a reason. He's suffering. He's going through the things that he mentions here. But in him, as we've seen other verses when he says, I'm cast down but not forsaken. I'm and all those different things, you know, that he said he went through, but his outward man went through that, but his inward man is, as he says here, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I know how to be full and to be hungry. If his outward man is hungry, yet his inner man is full. If he's a suffering need on the outward man, his inward man is abounding. And he said, I can do all things. I can do all these sufferings through Christ Jesus, which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Paul didn't have those afflictions taken away from him. And when you're looking here at verse 19, when he says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, he's saying that you're going to get a far eternal weight of glory. God's going to supply all your need. Not what you want, not what you think you need. This is how we come to understand God's word and understanding when you're looking at it through the eyes of your inward man, you're going to have a different outlook and approach on things. Because you're going to be, as a matter of fact, let's come back over to Romans chapter 8. Come back to Romans chapter 8 and we're going to close here. And let's look at verse 22. Romans 8, verse 22. Verse 22 here. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. You notice verse 22, it says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. For hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, what Paul is saying here, Paul's saying that the redemption of your body, you're not going to see that today. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that we're waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. Then he says, for we are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that, we see not. So this is telling you here, when you're hoping for something you don't see, this is telling you here, you're not going to get the redemption of your body in this lifetime. You're not going to physically see it. So all the ones that say they're faith healers and they're redeeming people, they're making people better by praying over them and things like that, Paul is saying that you're not going to see that in this lifetime. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. If the inward man is renewed day by day, he's comparing it in a sense that the outward man is perishing day by day. And this is what we need to come to understand, that you're not going to escape verse 18 here in Romans chapter 8. You're not going to escape the sufferings of this present time. You need to understand that the whole creation is going through these things. And whether you think you are being delivered from them, whether you think that God is putting His hands in your problems, or you're not going through them as much as others, you need to understand we're doing this together because of sin, the sin that entered into this world, which is what we're going to be going over in the next few studies. We're going to be looking at the whole issue of verses 19 through 21 about the why we suffer. And we suffer because the whole creation, the whole creature, that's things here on earth, that's things out there in where the second heaven is, that's things, the moon, the stars, and things of that nature. The whole creature, the whole creation has been fallen victim to the sin that's entered into this world. And that's why we go through the things. That's why we are going through the bondage of corruption. And these are things we're going to be looking at next week as we work our way through Romans chapter 8, as we look at the sufferings of this present time and the things that we go through is not our fault. Some of the things are because of our own stupidity, but what we face as sickness, death, crime, death, all those things, these are things that are because of Adam and sin entering into the world because of Satan, things of that nature. But with that, I'm going to close, and I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. And if you have a comment or question, please feel free to press star 6-1. We'll get you into the queue. And again, this vital study and understanding how we view ourselves is the first things first in how we come to understand the sufferings of this present time and how we can glory in these sufferings. Open things up for the first caller here. 336, you're in the queue.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, praise the Lord. How you doing, sister?
I'm fine, Pastor Jones. This is Sister Janet, and I'm just calling to comment on what you're teaching on tonight. It's wonderful. You know, the Bible says, with food and raiment and such as we have, be there with content. And that's what I learned to do. My main prayer is for people to be saved and to believe Jesus died on the cross for his sins and was buried and rose third day to justify him and to come into the full knowledge of the truth. That's my prayer every day.
Amen.
To ask why, we didn't ask Satan too many questions on the wages of sin is death when we live in the world system and we did the things of the world. And we were dying. We were dying out there, and we were on our way to hell. And to not understand that we're passing through, and this is not our home, and everything we store, we're storing up there. So when we get there, it'll be there. Store it here, because when he comes, nobody's going to have time to grab anything and take it. with his angels. We'll be out of here. So I just learned one thing about Paul. He was a content man. He was a man that learned to love God. And no matter what God wanted, he was willing to give.
That's right.
And that's the part that God wants from us. And I guess it's just, you know, it's an individual salvation. God said, work out your own soul and salvation with trembling and fear. I work out mine. I can't work out other people's, but I can work out my own soul salvation with trembling and fear and to do and be willing to give God what he wants for me. Mm-hmm. And know that this is not my home. I'm just passing through. I may be here for a minute. I may be here for a day. I may be here for a second. I may not even be here the next minute, but I'm passing through.
Right.
So to get that spirit that Paul has is that Paul had to learn how to love God, and we have to learn how to love God and to be willing to give our all that he asked of us, because we gave it all to Satan when he asked for it. So it shouldn't be a problem giving it all to God, and the wages of sin is death.
Amen. Amen. That's a good outlook. It's a good way to look upon that, because that is something that we ought to look at. And what you're talking about is that unselfish, that selfless way of looking at things, not a selfish way of looking at things that we go through.
Right. Because we are the righteousness of God, and that's our only focus, is to be righteous. We don't have no other focus. To lose focus on being the righteousness of God, you have lost focus.
Amen, amen, amen. And we are extension of His holiness.
That's right.
You are right. I thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that.
God bless.
All right. Now, see you later, sister.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye, Sister Janet.
Bye.
Thank you. Yeah. Well said. Well said. And I do appreciate all the comments and questions and things of that nature. Next week we're going to be going through the why we suffer, the why we go through the things. And if you will, if you have the time, read down from verses 19 on down to verse 25. And we're going to go over these things in the following weeks, things of that nature. But with